So the other week, not too long ago, I'm working at the house. We're home. The kids are back, and we're all around. And my wife walked in the bedroom and walks back out. And I walk into the bedroom, and all of a sudden I look. On the bed is the folder. A folder that I haven't seen in decades, and a folder I never really like to look at, and a folder I don't even want to read, and I don't even know why it's there. It is holding the skeletons, my worst and most difficult skeletons. And what are they doing there? Why would she go to, she knew I was researching skeletons in the closet. Why? What gives her the right to go down in the basement, rip out the folder, and put it on the bed? And I'm staring at it. I almost can't breathe. I know what's in it. It's bad. It's dark. It's the darkest, difficult time of my 16-year-old, 17, 18, 19, 20. What? Why? Why now? I mean, can I stand up here and talk about, like, fun, lighter skeletons? I mean, can I talk about being a little boy and stealing my father's Playboy magazines and, you know, hiding in my room or, you know, talking with friends and they are talking about their sex toys in the closet and this and that? I mean, make everybody laugh? No, not looking at that folder. That folder took me 30 years to get over. A couple of years after my mom passed away, I think I settled it on one of these weekends, you know, when you go away and you kind of discuss what that was all about. You know, and it was my mom was wonderful, very brilliant, very smart, Phi Beta Kappa, top in her university and this and that, very academically oriented, very much about grades, very much about doing the right thing in school and this and that. And in that folder were my transcripts. And again, you know, so I come up and I sit down at the corner of the bed. I make sure nobody's around. I think my wife's outside in the yard, so I have a few minutes. And I real gently open up the folder. And there's relics, man, relics. And, you know, and they're there. I'm not sure what to look at first. Those are the schools I went to. And, you know, it's difficult because it represented a difficult time. It starts in eighth grade or so, like that. I was in you know, public high school. I had a difficult time in my life with my mother and my family. There was alcoholism. There was depression. It was the early 70s. I was 10, 11, 12 years old. My father's company was doing really poor. We had to sell it. We had to sell our house. And I was really trained at keeping things in the closet. I'd rush home from school, make sure I answered the phone first so my friends, if they called, wouldn't catch my mother being drunk in the afternoon. Difficult. I'd make sure, no, don't come over to my house. I'll come over to your house and we'll play. And I got really good at taking all the chaos, the skeletons in the closet, my mom's, my father's, fighting about money, the difficulty in time. I had three older sisters that were off in college, and I got really good at containing those skeletons and keeping them over there, not letting my friends know. And you know, eighth grade, ninth grade, and this and that, it got so bad one day that it blew up when an ambulance came to my house, literally took my mother in an ambulance off. Neighbors knew, things exposed, skeletons out of the closet. We moved to Connecticut. New place, new town, new high school, new friends. At the time, I had four A's and a B. I was geeky as could be. I had wire-rimmed glasses. I had a squeegee head. I was a good student, and I could do one thing really, really well, and that was play hockey. But that's where the corruption came. That's when I moved from my mother's skeletons to my own, where all of a sudden my teammates started turning me on to beer. We won the state championship. I had my first Michelob. And all of a sudden, I saw my first marijuana cigarette. I thought, wow, I was there for 2 years. We did well with hockey and this and that, but the corruption started, the partying started, the distraction from school, the decision to not go to class, to go to IHOP and have pancakes instead. I fast forward this story, and I start to get off track, and my mother's so academically oriented, and they're lost in their own world, and all of a sudden I get recruited to prep school and off 2 years in prep school, high-level schooling, high-level. I learned to read. I like my SATs went from 350 to 690, and everything got really good, but boy, what did I learn at prep school? More skeletons, more partying, more professional level. How do you do all this without getting caught? How do you smoke? How do you drink? How do you sneak girls into the dorm at 1 in the morning and not get caught? With ridiculously stupid stories that I barely can feel to pull out of my own body to tell my wife, let alone my children. They're now 25, 23, and 19. And it's like, wow, skeletons. I am so not proud of some of them. And then I go from there, and I get recruited to the Air Force Academy, and I'm there for a while, year and a half. I'm doing that. I'm playing hockey and this and that. I'm fighting it too. Me and some friends decide to rent an illegal house in downtown Colorado Springs so we can sneak out in the middle of the night. I was a professional sneaker-outer, remember? I told you I was really good at all this. I would have the seniors bring beer, and I'd hike it up into the mountains, and then all of us cadets would say, we're going hiking, we're going running this afternoon, and go up in the mountains and drink beer all afternoon and fake everybody out. I think I was the only cadet in the Air Force Academy that actually snuck a civilian up into the dorm. I mean, we're talking like 8 miles up the mountain, through security and everything. Can't do that now. God, when that upperclassman came into the thing, he's like, Grant, I'm like, yes, sir. And my two roommates are freaking out. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking last night that I brought her up here with two roommates? Like, anything's going to happen? You know, the ratio is already 9-1 guys and this and that. And, like, this is really out there. I'm like, yes, sir. I'm thinking, oh, shit, I am going to get thrown out of the Air Force Academy for being wild again. And my parents are going to kill me. He goes, Grant. And I'm like, yes, sir. Grant, were you up late last night? Yes, sir. Were you in the hallway and stuff? Yes, sir. My roommates are frozen thinking, oh, my God. He goes, Grant, do you have a girl in your room? A civilian girl? Now, I'm thinking, I'm about to die here. Because last night somewhere, she says, you know, we were having beer, of course, and this and that. She goes, I have to pee. I'm like, you can't. You can't go out. We can't go out in the hallway. It's death out there. And she goes, I have to go pee. And I'm looking at the sink. I'm like, no, I won't do that to you. And all of a sudden, she leaves. The cadet says, Grant, well, I'm thinking I'm toast. He goes, did you get laid? I'm like, no, sir. He goes, Grant, oh, come on. Walks out of the room, toast. But it was only a week later until I got kicked out of the Air Force Academy because I got caught downtown. They checked our beds. Five of us were gone. Two of the people lied. And I got kicked out of the academy. Came back, transferred to RPI. Really bummed telling my parents. I go, you know, 2 years now at RPI, and now I'm lost in a sea of white chalkboard formulas on the board. Just lost. Thinking, this isn't going to work. I sat on the bed, and I looked at the folder. And I said, wow, how did this happen? How did I get so off track? Was it alcohol? Was it my own skeletons? What ripped me down? And the bummer about it all is my big skeleton that I've carried for 30 years. Yeah, I didn't have a college degree. And what did that mean? And is it that big of a deal? But more importantly, how and why? And what skeletons came into play? And how do I teach this to my kids? And how do I explain this to my parents? And how does this all work now that my kids are older? And the real punchline of the whole story is my wife, looping back. I know why she grabbed that folder. She cares. She loves me. We've been married 27 years. She understands that skeletons are something to hug and to regard and to honor because they make who you are. And they made me stronger. They made me entrepreneurial. They made me independent. She knew that I was so frustrated that I couldn't get a job at some of the companies because I wasn't a college, didn't have a college degree. She was with me, and she built it, and she says, that's your memory. You are who you are. The kids will understand. Be strong. Love your skeletons. They're your gift. Thank you very much.
The Howl Story Slam is an ongoing storytelling competition produced by NCPR in partnership with the Adirondack Center for Writing. Find more stories at ncpr.org/howl.